And everyone turn to Galatians while they are doing that. Galatians chapter 6. We're on a series. And this is the series. So somebody, tell me what you see. Somebody says, what? All right, so if you look in red, you see Revelation. If you look at the O and the U in blue, you can see revolution. And the point of this series is this. Many people want change in their life. They would like radical change in some areas of their life. And change is a result of revelation. It is a result of seeing things and seeing circumstances and situations through the eyes of God. And that's what this series is about, is that when I see myself the way God sees me, everything changes. When I see my situation and my circumstances through the eyes of Christ, those things change. And so what we're looking for is the first thing. I know we want the second. We want the change. But the change comes because of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're in Galatians chapter 6. And I honestly do not have a particular title for this message. It's simply this. Paul is writing. Galatians is one of the earliest books. And so he is writing one of his earliest letters, probably the earliest letter, to the church. And in Galatians chapter 6, he's using a common thing. He's using farming. I got to admit, y'all, farming is not common to me. All right? I can't grow a garden. Brantley and I can't keep a plant alive. It's the most sad thing you've ever seen. I grew some peppers one time, and I thought that I was just, and I thought I was breaking through into the world of farming. And I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I grew some peppers." He said, "Son, that's no big deal. You can grow peppers on the sidewalk." Like, really? I mean, I thought I was doing something. You know, he's like, "No, they'll grow anywhere. That's no big deal." I'm like, man. And so I realized that I'm probably dealing with a room full of people that that you have not done a whole lot of farming in your life, at least not on a large scale. And so we're going to have to learn some things. But we're talking today about sowing and about reaping, and we're doing it in a spiritual life. All right, and so let me just read to you. It's Galatians chapter 6. It begins in verse 7. And he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And so, if I were to begin this message today and say, if I sow corn into the ground, I can't expect an apple orchard. Most of you would probably say, really? I mean, anybody gets that, all right? So where are you going with this? If I sow corn, I'm not going to get an apple orchard. That's no big deal. But for whatever reason, we struggle with this spiritual concept of I can be sowing into my flesh, and we'll talk about that. I can be sowing into my flesh, but I'm expecting a spiritual harvest. And that's not how it works. If you want a spiritual harvest in your life, you have to sow spiritually. And so while it makes all the sense in the world, and it seems foolish to even bring up the point that you don't sow corn if you want apples. You don't sow into the flesh if you're looking for spiritual change in your life. Got to talk about a couple of things, because many people have used this verse of Scripture to take us to a very bad place. And in fact, Galatians, let me just tell you real quickly, is Paul writing to a church who has been saved by the grace of God and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did y'all get here any other way? We have been saved by the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God. Is that right? That's how we got here. If you didn't get there that way, you aren't in yet, okay? All right, don't be deceived. So that's how salvation comes. It comes by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this church had been saved by grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they got this problem. Some of them had been Jews, and so they've been obeying the law for a long time. And now these Gentiles, they come in, and it's what to do. And they say, well, you know, we got to start obeying the laws of Moses. You guys have got to start dressing right and acting right and doing right and following the law. And Moses and Paul says, oh, y'all, don't go back there, please. You know? And so a lot of people will still preach the exact opposite of why this letter has been written. Paul is not saying, don't hear this, that if I do bad things, God's going to punish me. If I do, God's going to hate me. If I do good things, then clearly God will love me. Please don't think that. Can I say that one more time just to make sure? Okay? Don't think that if you do good works, that God's somehow going to love you. And if you do bad works, God's somehow going to hate you and you're doomed for hell. That's not how it works. He loves us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He forgives us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so Paul's actually writing to say, don't think you can earn your way in, folks, because you just can't. That's why he's writing. So I don't want you to think that. I'm not telling you that. And I'm also not talking about karma. Isn't it amazing how we'll pick up on some stuff and we'll just start using it? Karma is not a Christian principle. You know that, right? Karma is a principle that comes from Buddhism and it comes from Hinduism and some things like that. And it's essentially, it has the part I think is most dangerous is the eternal part of it, because there's some things in there that say, if I do good here on earth, my next life is good. If I do bad here on earth, my next life is bad. That's the ultimate end of karma. Most people will use it and they don't quite mean that. They just mean if you do something bad, probably something bad is going to happen. If you do something good, probably something good is going to happen. Can I just say, I don't think we ought to use that word. I really don't think we ought to use the word, because it's not of our faith. It's not of our religion. The end is determined again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is some common sense about things, right? If you sow in strife, chances are you're going to get a world full of strife. Okay, so we know that reality of things. If you sow in kindness, you're probably going to get kindness back. Those are almost like sort of natural laws, I think. But here's the amazing thing, and I'll put a guarantee on this one. All right, this is money-back guarantee. You ready? Money-back guarantee. If you sow to the Spirit, you will never be disappointed. Okay? I'll make you a money-back guarantee. If you sow to the Spirit, you will never be disappointed. It says you will reap life. That word is in verse 8. It is eternal life. It is Zoe life. That means full life. When Jesus said you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, he's talking about Zoe life. He's talking about this full life. We got Zoe in the church. I think whenever you name a child Zoe, you ought to be expecting a child full of life. You know? Guess what? You've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be full of life too. You know? You ought to be full of life too. And if you sow to the Spirit, you will be full of that Zoe, full life that God wants you to have. But if you sow to the flesh, I make no guarantees. And in fact, that's where this message comes from. See, it comes from my heart of, I'm now 40 years old. I know I look like I'm 25. I know. If I'm wrong, I don't want to be right. There's a few things that will cause you to look back. One is failure. If you have failure, you tend to look back and wonder, now why in the world did I mess that up so badly? Yeah. So failure will cause us to look back, but also age just causes you to look back, right? Can I get an amen from somebody you've lived long enough now that you start looking back and you wonder, what do I have? What do I really have? What have I really done? And is what I have done, has it already reaped corruption, or have I sown into things that have given me life in full life and life eternal? And so for Kevin, it's been this thing of, man, where have I spent my time? Are any of you with me? Where have I spent my time? And has all the time that I have had, because we all have the same amount, you know, each day, has it reaped corruption? Do I have anything to show for it? The money that I've spent, oh, Lord, I spent money on stuff I can't even remember what I spent it on. You know, I've received presents after presents at Christmas and birthdays, and I have no idea where they are. That stuff just reaps corruption, doesn't it? This earthly stuff, it just reaps corruption. And I'm at this place in my life that I'm like, I just want something that lasts. I just want something that's eternal, and I just want something that's got God's stamp on it. Because I've had some stuff that didn't have God's stamp on it. And it just tears up. And it just breaks. And it just doesn't work. And Paul is saying, I'll make you a guarantee. If you will sow to the Spirit, you will have the things that are eternal. So we're gonna talk a little farming here. And Lord help us, because I'm no farmer. You will reap what you sow. Now, most everybody has heard that and thinks, oh, Lord, if I do something bad, I'm going to get it. That's not even what we're talking about here. That you will reap what you sow. And so the key thing to begin with is that all good things come from God. Do you realize that? That you've got to have an understanding of that. Anything good that has ever come into your life, anything that's ever had any lasting value to it, it's come from God, because Scripture says that all good things come from God. I didn't make that up. That's in James chapter 1, verse 17, if you didn't know. Okay. And that God is the one. I have been working on this for so long. Chris Gaddy and I have been working on this so long as a church, is that Scripture tells us that God gives seed for sowing and for bread. Right, Chris? We've been working on that. And the concept is this, that God gives seed for sowing. And so some of the things that God brings into your life, you're supposed to sow that. And some of it you're supposed to eat. The wisdom comes in knowing how much of each one to do. But God gives it all. So the point is, if we talk about that you will reap what you sow, you have to know that everything first originates through God. In fact, there's this fruit of the Spirit. If you have been saved, the Spirit of God is in you. He bursts this fruit in your life. It's in Galatians 5:22. I've memorized it. I think you should too. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a good harvest, right? That's a good harvest. And do you realize that that doesn't come from you? That comes from the Holy Spirit living in you. But you have a guarantee from the Holy Spirit that He will birth that in your life if you will stay very close to Him. That stuff's going to start coming out. And the amazing thing about a fruit is, what's inside of a fruit? Seed. And so you can start with just one, but you end up with many. Right? And so that's a principle for us. Some of you maybe are young Christians and you're thinking, you're looking out on other Christians, you think, Lord, there's just cornfields of spiritual growth in their life. I just see all kind of spiritualness in them. And I don't know how I could ever get there. Their spiritual life just looks like a wheat field, or it looks like a cornfield. It's just full of spiritual stuff. And it just looks like I don't have anything. And I would tell you, you are wrong. And I'm glad that you're wrong, and I'm about to tell you how to be right. It is that the Spirit of God has planted through His Holy Spirit these things in you. And don't worry about when you look out if you see a field or if you see an orchard. Just look for one seed, if that's all you got, and just plant it in the ground. And I guarantee you, God will let that thing grow up, and then it'll produce more seed. And then you can have the opportunity then of, what am I going to eat and what am I going to sow? Does that make sense? So you will reap what you sow. And so that involves my time. What is it that we can sow? I can sow my time into things. I can sow my money into things. I can sow my talents and my abilities into things. Man, if we could only look at this room and see it from God's eyes, the potential that is in this room, the potential that is in you, to create spiritual things, it'd blow you away. There are so many good things inside of you that can bring forth this spiritual harvest. So the thing is, let's just agree to start sowing. And then the next thing is, you will reap where you sow. You will reap where you sow. Some of you, is family a little bit chaotic? I imagine a room this big, some of you have came from families, and that family's just been absolute chaos. It's like, look, Kevin, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was just born into it. Just a mess. Kevin, you can't even imagine the kind of mess that I was born into. And I would tell you, guess what? You have the opportunity to change the very destiny of your generation. Do you realize that? I'm not speaking high pie in the sky when I say that either. You literally, it doesn't matter if you have been born into absolute chaos. What do you need to do? Just start sowing in that field. Start sowing into that field of your family. Start sowing into the field of your children. You're like, oh Lord, if you only know the kind of parenting that I've been under. I don't know. But I can tell you this, that if you will sow into your children, you'll reap a different harvest than your parents. I promise you. And so we reap where we sow. So where is your heart? If your heart is in your family, then start sowing in your family. I know you've got to sow into work, right? You got to make money. You got to pay the bills. But so many times we'll get consumed by maybe it's the business or it's the job. Sometimes this over here looks so chaotic that we sow into just trying to get away from everything. Oh, am I talking to anybody? You know, I'm just trying to numb the pain of life. And so a lot of what I'm sowing into is I'm just trying to not feel the pain of what happened before. I'm just trying to get away from everything. And I'm sowing into that. But your heart's over here. Because the Spirit of God is saying you can change it. It can be different for you. But you can't continue to sow over here. If your heart is for your family, then let's sow into our family. And I guarantee you, money back guarantee, God can change it. If it's that you want to sow into this church, how many of you want to be a part of a great church? How many of you know what that looks like? We already are. Oh, God bless you. I have found that everybody who comes into a church wants to be a part of a great church. Do you know if you want to be a part of a great church, you have to sow into a great church? That was good, Kevin. They're not going to admit it, but that was good. That was good. That was good. I realized that when God put this thing on my heart, that I was going to have to sow into you. And it's the same way. Do you want to be a part of a great church? Then you're going to have to sow into a great church. If you don't, then you're going to reap a harvest in wherever it is you're sowing. Just decide where you want to sow. Does anybody want to see a spiritual harvest in Chester? If you're not, get out. You don't belong here. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't know where you live. You may have come here from another place. Wherever you live, I think there ought to be something stirring up inside of you. If you live in York or you live in Lancaster or wherever it may be, you ought to say, I long for God. I long for the Spirit of God in my neighborhood. I long for the Spirit of God in my community. I long for the Spirit of God in South Carolina. We've got this thing here. We're just starting local because I found that in the Scripture. They started kind of locally, and as they gained authority, the authority spread out. I'm not sure I got any authority in India. Now, I've been there about 3 times to minister, but honestly, I don't know that I have a great deal of authority there. But I live here. I'm guaranteed that I've got some authority here. You have authority where you live. So, sow where you want to reap a reward. Sow in the field where you want a harvest. And then you reap more than you sow. Oh, that's good. You reap more than you sow. So just like I talked about earlier, you drop corn into the ground and it comes up into a stalk. And it creates an ear, and every ear has a kernel. Ooh, I did pretty good, right? All right, Gary's back there is my farmer, so I'm checking in. If Gary starts doing this, I know I'm in trouble. All right, if Gary is like, I've done something wrong. My research wasn't right. Yeah. One quick fact. In the Bible, corn, if you see corn in the Bible, some of you are smart and say, corn didn't develop in the Middle East. Do you know what? You would be right. You would be right. But when they translated the Bible, corn didn't mean corn as in maize. It meant kernel. And it applied to anything like wheat or barley. And so they called the little pieces of fruit there, they called it corn. Isn't that good? Y'all don't care. You're like, get back to the message. You don't care. But you will reap more than you sow. And so here's what we do. We have to replant. As life goes on, we continue to plan our time. We continue to plan our resources. I heard one person say years ago, Kevin, I just feel like there's this this calling in me to start a home group, but my home's not very good. Now, this was years ago, and they said, I just don't feel like I could invite anybody in because I don't have a great place. And I was like, don't worry about that. Just have a warm place by your personality. Just be hospitable. And I guarantee you, people would rather go to your house than the most opulent house that felt cold and like you didn't belong. Right? Right? So I said, just take what you got and just start using it. Who knows? God might change your house. I don't know. But I guarantee you, you're worried about the wrong thing. Do you know, as far as I know, that person has never sown their house. And yet it's been in their heart. And it's been years. And they've not sown. And I just want to tell you, don't look at what you have and say, I just don't have enough, Kevin. I just don't think I have anything worth sowing. Just look around and see what you got. And just start sowing it. Just start putting it into action for the kingdom. And the thing about that is, before I can literally be a sower, one more thing about the culture. Back in those days, they didn't so much till up the ground into rows and then sow the seed. What they actually did is they would give a big old bag of seed to the farmer. And the farmer would have his seed and he'd go out and he'd start broadcasting. That's where we get broadcast radio from, is from throwing seed. The sower would just get out and he'd just start throwing seed. That's why you have that story in the Bible about where some of the seed falls. Some of it falls in good ground, some of it falls in hard ground, some of it falls on the rocks and all that. Why? Because the sower's just going along. He's just sowing seed. And then what happens? Then they would bring through the plows and they'd cover the seed up. I think that's a little differently than how we do it today. But that's how they did it back then. Why am I telling you all that? Because just start sowing. You're sitting there thinking, but I don't know if I'm going to be sowing into good ground or not. I'd like to maybe pour my life into somebody, but I don't know if they'd receive it or not. I tell you this, don't worry about it. Just sow the seed. And as you sow it, just realize that back behind you, the Holy Spirit, the plow, do you hear it? Huh? Can you hear it? Don't worry about it. Just sow the seed and then just listen for the plow. That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and bury it. You don't worry about it. You just sow seed. But before you can sow seed, many times, something has to change in us. And maybe we have to look at ourselves as seed. This week I've been looking at my life in this way. There's just this hunger that's developing inside of me. I don't know if you call it a hunger or a thirst or something, but that's the only way I can describe it. Hunger and a thirst for more of God. Because the more that I have of Him, the better He seems to taste. The more I have of Him, the more convinced I am that His way is true, that His word is truth, and it is right, and it is the best way for me to live. And so there's this hunger that's been stirring up inside of me. And so I came in last week and I preached, and I told you guys, it felt like I was holding a stick of dynamite, and that I was going to light that thing in the service, and it was going to go out, and I was going to go, y'all have a good day, enjoy your lunch. Or it was going to blow up, and it might blow up on me. Guess what happened? It blew up on me after the service. It really did. Chris Bender came down and started praying for me and just messed me up. Just messed me up. I told you, right? If you want more of the Holy Spirit, don't tell Him how to do it. Did I tell you that last week? I'm going to tell you again today. Are you hungry for God? Don't tell Him how to come. He'll choose His own way of coming. You just be hungry, and you just be thirsty for more of God. And what I realized as the days went on is this, that Kevin has had this amazing ability over the years to insulate himself from the world. You know how a seed has that little goodie in the middle, but the outside's kind of hard, right? You ever notice that? What I realized is that Kevin had gotten a little bit hard on the outside. Now, I know y'all see the tender me, you know, the tender guy. I try to be tender to y'all. But here's the thing that Kevin does. I've got a place that I can put stuff. Did any of y'all have that? I might be talking to the fellas right now. Fellas, y'all got a place, you know what I'm talking about? You can put it, right? Like if it's too emotional, I got this place I can put it. I don't know how to describe it, but there's a place in me that I can put it, and I can shut the door on it, and it won't hurt me there. That's why I put it there. It's so it won't hurt me. And I'm hardly ever, it's hard to offend me because I can look at a person who's hurt me and I can just feel nothing. I don't know if that's probably a family thing. I don't know. You know, my dad, his range of emotions is about like that, and mine is too, right? You know, we don't have this huge range of, and so this outer shell has just kind of protected me from life, and I'm like, I like it because you can't hurt me. And I deal with people all the time that are hurt, and I'm thinking, man, I love it because I just doesn't affect me. But you know what's been happening over the years? It's that it's been keeping God out too. You ever thought about that? That strategy that you've been using to keep people from hurting you, to keep you from feeling anything, is also the very thing that's keeping you from feeling God. It's keeping you from the very desires of your heart. And something's got to happen. You got to make a choice. I watched this thing on YouTube where they planted these seeds and they did time-lapse photography. I believe it was a sunflower seed that they planted. And they planted it, and the first thing that had to happen is that seed had to crack open. It had to give way. And then as it gave way, the first thing that came out was the root. And the root started making its way down. But nothing really happened right away. Just the root was growing, and it was weaving its way through the soil, and it was getting deeper and deeper in the ground. And then finally, all of a sudden, something sprouted up from the top. I'm like, man, that's what we've all been looking for. You know, that's what you're looking for, right? When you sow something, you're looking for the thing that pops up out of the ground. And you're like, whoo! When it finally comes up, you go, whoo! I imagine as a farmer, when the stuff finally starts coming up, you're like, whoo, okay, we're going to get paid this year. You know, we're going to be able to pay the bills this year. All of us in our life, we come and we wrestle with that. I bet you're wrestling with that this morning. You've probably been wrestling with it all your life. Is I want something spiritual. But will I take the risk to actually plant myself? Will I take the risk to put myself in the ground, to allow myself to be cracked open, to allow the roots to grow first before I see anything? Oh, that's tough, isn't it? Oh my gosh, some of you, you're like, man, I've been a Christian for like 3 weeks now. I just don't see anything happening. You know, I think I've been a Christian since, good Lord, I was saved when I was like 7 years old. So that I've been a Christian a long time. Now, sometimes I still look up and go, I wonder where the plan is, you know? But here's what I'm trusting. I'm trusting God grow, just keep growing my roots. You know, God, you just keep, let me just keep putting truth into my life. And so what am I saying to you? Before, oftentimes we can sow our time and our resources and our gifts and our talents. We got to die to ourselves. There's that thing where you surrender yourself to God, just like that song. We're going to sing it. Guys, y'all come on up. That's going to be the invitation. You got to surrender. You got to put yourself in the soil. And it's the truth. You'll never be the same. How foolish would it be to put yourself in the ground and then get nervous and come back and dig yourself back up? Right? You put yourself in the ground and you go, oh, I don't see anything. Okay, I'm coming back and I'm getting me back. Don't do that. There's this surrender that has to take place. You put yourself in the ground. And then there's this cracking that happens that God says, you know, I'll do everything I promised. But that hard exterior that you've got, it's got to go. It's got to be cracked. And the first thing I'm going to do is the roots are going to grow. And you may not see anything, but in faith, don't give up. Don't give up. It said, in due season, you'll reap a harvest. Don't give up. Trust that God is growing roots. And then what pops up and how much pops up, it really doesn't matter. Because if you only get one kernel from it, you know what you can do? You can sow that and start again. That's what a farmer does. He realizes that I may not have much today, but I'll just keep sowing what I've got, and I guarantee that I'll have more. That makes sense? Stand with me. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with a little bit of silence. I know you hate that. We all do. We hate the silence. But we're going to have just a little bit of silence. I heard a pastor, his name is Pete Scarzero. He said, silence is like a person, and sometimes you've got to give him time to speak. So we're going to give silence time for the Holy Spirit to speak in you. And if there's anybody that's hungry and thirsty for more of God, then I want to invite you to plant yourself today, to surrender yourself. And if you feel like you need someone to talk to, I'm going to be down here. Chris, will you be down here? I'm going to ask. I figured if he messed me up, he could probably mess you up too. And I'll try to help mess you up myself, okay? All right? If you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you, though, you can't tell him how to do it. It's like sowing into the ground. You just got to kind of do it and then let God take it. So if you're at that place where you're like, you know, I'm not going to tell him how to do it. I just know I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for more of God. I just want more of him. Then let's go for it. How about it? How about it, church? I've decided that I got to go even if it's just me. That's when you know it's of God. When you say, I'm going to go even if it's just me. I just got to go. But what about you? I got a feeling he's not just inviting me. I think he's inviting more. I think he's raising up an army, if I'm not mistaken. Are you ready to go? Let's give silence time to speak.
To get in that plane, and next thing you know, I'm sitting in that plane. I didn't even think about it. I just got in the plane. But then the door opens, and you're faced with this massive decision: do I jump or do I not? And next thing you know, I jumped. Been many times in my life where, you know, that wasn't a God thing, but there's been many times in my life where there's these massive God things that he wants to do in us. And if we sit there and think about it, reason it out, and be analytical, we'll convince ourselves why we can't do it, even though we know we're supposed to. Everything within us is screaming, do it. And it's time that we crack ourselves open, like he was talking about. And sometimes we just gotta jump and just do it. And there's times in my life when I just jump and do it and don't necessarily get all analytical about it. I just know within myself, I know that I gotta do this. That's when God shows up the most. And if God is wanting to show up the most, but we have to allow him to do it. So I wanna challenge you today. Who's willing to jump with me? I'm ready to jump. Kevin jumped last week. He wasn't even expecting, I don't think, to jump, and he ended up jumping. But it's time for us to allow God just to crack us open, because there's so much potential in us. Like you said, that seed. We don't even know it's there. We just know that the seed's there. But it's time to just crack that thing open and just to go for it. And just let God take care of the rest. Yeah.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.